for tuning into your local campus and community radio station. We have an action-packed, chock-full of guests episode of the Dr. Randy Show this afternoon. I have two professors of acting and playwriting here in the studio. Jay McCutcheon and Bella Merlin are here. They're going to talk to us this afternoon about an upcoming show, which you'll have a chance to see this weekend. We'll talk about theater, combining theater and music, the opportunity to work at the Mondavi Center, and the place of drama. Not the sort of drama you're used to, but the dramatic arts and how it can enrich your life. In the second half of the show, we will hear from Rosie Carrick. Rosie Carrick is a Brighton, England-based poet who will be performing this evening at Poetry Night at Bistro 33. She is a performance poet. If you'd like to find out more about her and check out the photographs that she has on her website, Google Rosie Carrick, C-A-R-R-I-C-K, and you'll find her UK website. That, and we've got some jazz bumper music, some other announcements. Frank Bidart, the great poet, winner of the Wallace Stevens Award for American Poetry, one of the subjects of my dissertation once upon a time, Frank Bidart, will be reading at 126 Voorhees tomorrow evening here in the city of Davis on the UC Davis campus. So there's a lot going on, and you've come right to the right spot to find out about it. Stick around for this week's edition of Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour here on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. This is a John Robinson track called Reshuffle from a CD called Oasis Jazz, Volume 5. appropriately energetic for the two dynamos who are down here in the studio of 14 Lower Freeborn, KDBS. And they are Bella Merlin, who's the chair of MFA in acting at UC Davis, and Jade Rosina McCutcheon, who's written a new play called Elephant's Graveyard, which is featuring in the, what is that, Sideshow Physical Theater, starting in the recently renamed Vanderhoof Studio Theater at the Mondavi Center this coming Friday. And I'm very pleased that they're both here to talk to us about their work in this important new piece. And Jade, the microphone is pointed at you, so why don't you say hi to folks at home?
Hi, and g'day.
And g'day. So there'll be a number of verbal cues of who's who, so that you all can follow along more easily. And here, woman of a thousand voices, is Bella Merlin.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon. All right. Let's see if they can see how many voices come out this afternoon. Jade Rosina McCutcheon, your play is called The Elephant's Graveyard. And to a certain extent, it's about aging. Would you say that's right?
Yes, it is.
Tell us a little bit more about your creation.
Over the years, I have been concerned with what happens to the elderly, and particularly the nursing home situation, which happened to my great aunt Esme, mm-hmm. and the lead character is called Esme after her. And my mum is 89, and you know, friends of mine have had the situation of having to work to earn a living, but you know, and then the parent goes into a nursing home. And so I talked with people in Seoul, in Korea, and people in Melbourne, in Australia, and people here in different states of America. And it seems that it's an issue that's facing us all, that by 2050, the largest age group in the whole of the United States is over 80.
Over 80
in 2050. So I think... so. There's an issue about what do we do with our elders, what's going to happen to us. And then there's science racing on at a million miles an hour, creating longevity.
Right. And there have been new publications, new articles in the press about this, even this last week, thinking that the possibility of uploading our memories to computer banks and having... effective immortality in that the mind or some approximation of it can always be whirling on the things that it's whirling on right now. It, to some that would be comforting, to some it would be frightening.
I attended a conference in San Francisco last year where there was an enormous amount of... and they're all men. There wasn't a woman there presenting. It was Convergence 08, it was called, and people from the Immortality Institute were there. And there was a lot of talk about cryonics. And and I talked to a guy at the Immortality Institute and asked him what the end game was. And, of course, it's to have a planet of people who never age. And I said, okay, so what age would you stop everyone aging at? He said 2021. And I said, so you'd have a planet of 21-year-olds forever. Forever, forever, forever. And he said yes without even taking... And then, to me, this is pretty extraordinary because all the concepts about the soul or religions and God, consciousness and evolution, all of those things are immediately knocked on the head in one fell swoop. So there's that sort of discussion in the play as well.
Right. Interesting. As someone who has read a lot of T.S. Eliot, I think of Sybil in the beginning of that poem, where the epigraph, which is in Greek, so I won't quote it directly, but it says something about you know, Sybil, what do you want from us? And she says, I want to die. And she says this because she asked for immortality of Apollo, if I remember correctly. But she neglected to ask for everlasting youth. And so she would get older and older and older. And the line from Eliot, I will show you fear in a handful of dust, is actually all of the sands of the hourglass of how old she became, but with never that final release into death. Mm. And it, I thought it was a good metaphor of some of what you're just talking about cryogenics and kind of redefining consciousness, aging, mm. Personality, and the extent to which we may be creating new hells for ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. And, you know, a lot of the play is also about a relationship between a mother and a daughter. And Bella is playing the daughter, Eve. And, you know, there's some suggestion of why are we on the planet? And what's the point of living forever without something like love?
Right. Absolutely. Well, if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour, and I have here in the studio Jade Rosina McCutcheon, who is the author of a new play, Elephant's Graveyard. She's here with Bella Merlin, the chair of acting here at UC Davis, and Bella will be seen in the play this coming weekend at the Mondavi Center. Jade, could you tell us a little bit more about some of the specifics if people want to see the play, buy tickets, where should they go?
Yes.
Websites,
yes.
Locations?
Yes. Okay, there's a couple of choices. One is to go online to the Mondavi Center and click on Theater, and you'll see Elephant's Graveyard, and you can purchase tickets that way. There is a charge for booking online. It's easy to do it that way. Otherwise, to turn up to the ticket office outside the Mondavi Center and purchase the ticket there.
And we open this coming Friday night?
We open this Friday, gulp, and it starts at 8 o'clock. And we have three performances this weekend. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is a matinee at 2 o'clock. And we stay around then to answer questions that the audience might have. There's a talk-back session after the matinee Sunday. And then we repeat that next week.
Excellent. So you have lots of opportunities to see this new play. Elephant's Graveyard, authored by Jade Rosina McCutcheon. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to hear more from Professor McCutcheon and also from Bella Merlin. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thank you.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
Welcome back to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. This is Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I spoke before about Rosie Carrick appearing at Bistro 33 tonight at Poetry Night. Well, someone else who's appeared quite a few times at Poetry Night at Bistro 33 is our next guest, and that's Bella Merlin. In addition to being the chair of the MFA in Acting at UC Davis, she is an actress herself, a musician, and she'll be appearing on stage at the Mondavi Center this coming weekend in Elephant's Graveyard, authored by our first guest, Jade Rosina McCutcheon. Bella Merlin, welcome to Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So it must be a treat to work on a play written by your friend and colleague. Tell me a little bit about some of the challenges or goals of preparing for this part in Elephant's Graveyard.
The challenge is I play a scientist, and I'm an out-and-out artist, humanities person. Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting goal, and it's a joy, actually, working with Jade, who straddles, actually, science and art, and had done a lot of work with some scientists, so was able to put me in the direction of people I could talk to and the kind of websites I could look at. And it's always exciting when you approach a role to really take that black-and-white script and think, how am I going to turn this piece of paper into something that's credible, that breathes, and so you start to look at all the terminology being used, the way that character expresses themselves, their syntax. So that was the first challenge, is looking at the kind of way a scientist will express themselves. And I play a nanotechnologist, so my passion is immortality and how to keep people alive. And
right.
So that was a real joyous challenge.
And an interesting one, as we were talking about before, because this is often the task of the poet or the actor. I know that you've done some Shakespeare work, and so it's amazing the ways that we keep Shakespeare's words alive these 400 years later. But this is a different take, and it really does substitute science for what you were talking about before as the humanities, or a kind of creative, expressive, almost iterative approach with all the different people who have represented Shakespeare and other great plays.
Well, what's interesting about the play, and it's so apt that we're here, is it is very poetic and it's addressing technology. So the two are woven together very interestingly. And I also love working on new work. It's got no heritage. You don't know how it's going to form itself. Jade's writing is really extraordinary. She's combined songs with music, with dance, with very realistic scenes. So in many ways, it's quite epic in the kind of Brechtian sense of the word, and very realistic at the same time. And that in itself is a challenge. It has a particular performance rhythm that we're just discovering as we go through the technical rehearsals and the dress rehearsals. Also, of course, once you get the audience there, it'll have a completely new rhythm. And one of the most extraordinary things is we have certain actors in the company from the community, the oldest of which is 91.
Oh, yeah?
So we've got some elders, they like to be known as, mm-hmm. How many have we got, Jada, there?
We have five plus Esme, who's in the lead, Claudia, and she's, I think, in her mid-70s. So that would be six.
So we've got six elders the majority of whom haven't been on stage before, and it's just a joy. It's a whole new experience for all of us. And we've also got undergrads, so we've got undergrads, MFAs, PhD, faculty designers. It's right across the board.
Wonderful. If we had more time, I'd embarrass you and make you go into all the experiences that you've had on stage, because clearly you're on the other end, rather than someone who hasn't been on stage before, someone who's written many books about acting and who's been on stage a great deal in England and also here in the States. I'm wondering, with those octogenarians that you get to share the stage with, did you ever feel like it was appropriate for you as a fellow actor to step in and give some coaching? I know you do so much of that as a professor here at UC Davis. How did that relationship work?
Well, bless their cotton socks, they actually asked for help.
Oh, yeah?
They were very sweet, especially once they knew that I was the professor of acting here and that I'd written books. And one of them, dear sweet lady, the person who plays the lead in the play, really came to me yesterday and said, I spent the weekend reading your book. So they're eager to learn. They've got the curiosity of children. It's delightful.
That's wonderful. If you're just joining us, we're talking about a play, Elephant's Graveyard, that opens this weekend at the Vanderhoff Studio Theater at the Mondavi Center. That's this coming Friday. There are shows Friday and Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and then Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, after which you'll have a chance to talk with some of the actors and the playwright. And then all this happens again the following week. So that's this coming weekend and the weekend after that. I'm very much looking forward to seeing the show this coming Friday night. Perhaps I will see some of you all, some of you listeners there. Well, let me ask you a question, Jade. As our playwright, there's always some sort of disconnect between what you imagined and then what your actors can do with what you imagined. And I'm wondering if you could talk about some of the issues that Bella just raised, about the challenges of working with all these different sorts of actors, and then also the many different ages. In other words, I'm sure some of the undergraduates, you had to tell them to, you know, quiet down and behave. And maybe for some of your older actors as well. So tell us some of the stories there.
Well, I never had to tell Bella to quiet down and behave.
Yeah.
But I am overjoyed. I never had intended to write for five or six elderly people in the show. I was looking for Esme, who had to play an 80-year-old plus woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to find that person in the profession. I wanted to find that person from the community. I am a big believer in social theatre, addressing anxieties of the tribe. And to have members of that tribe on stage means that we identify more and we go further into that issue with them, because it's not like, oh, they're all actors. There's a link. There's a psychological link. And to find Claudia was amazing. I had never imagined I'd be so lucky. So once I'd found Claudia, I then wrote and wrote. I thought I might give Esme three or four lines, and I've honestly written her so I can't believe she can cope with the amount of lines. So in that respect, I feel really lucky. And then there were five other ladies who put their hands up saying they were interested, and so I wrote them a couple of scenes. And that so it's more than I imagined,
right,
on many levels like that. The undergraduates, we only have two,
mm-hmm,
have been fantastic. And I haven't had to ask anyone to quieten down. I love community. I love age range. I love difference. I love people understanding difference and each other. And to me, this is a perfect opportunity for the process, as well as hopefully what might happen in the audiences. I see, you know, theatre is a site of reflection where we get a sense of our potentials, etc., back. So it went beyond my imagination. And then, of course, I wrote happily during the summer once I knew who I had on board. Very grateful that Bella agreed to play Eve. That made all the difference, having someone of her quality there too.
I'm sure. Well, and what fun for you, rather than your actors only finding inspiration in the text, you finding inspiration from the actors and writing for them as the play grew.
Yes.
So and also I would say what a great city this is to present such a play, because we're a city that celebrates difference of various sorts.
Yes.
but also a city, as is the case with many university towns, where certain people, a city that certain people seek out in order to retire in.
Yes.
And so I'm sure you had a wide variety of people to choose from to fill these roles. But also, it'll be interesting to see what sort of response you get from community members, including many retired community members, to this play. So let's just remind folks that we're talking about Elephant's Graveyard. It opens this coming weekend, this Friday, at the Mondavi Center. And if you Google Mondavi Arts, or if you stop by the Mondavi Center during daylight hours, you'll be able to purchase tickets to Elephant's Graveyard. We're going to take a quick musical break, hear an important message, and then when we return, we'll also hear from some folks who were responsible for some of the music as well as some of the dancing in Elephant's Graveyard. You're listening to Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis.
Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
We've been talking about the Mondavi Center and Elephant's Graveyard, which is opening there this weekend. And my two guests, the playwright of Elephant's Graveyard, Jade Rosina McCutcheon, and one of the actors in the production, Bella Merlin, they actually have to get off to the Mondavi Center and get to work because they may have a few things to iron out and perfect for Friday. So let's ask, Bella, I wanted to ask you if there are any discounts available for students if they wanted to go see Elephant's Graveyard this weekend.
Yes, indeed. If you take your ID, you can get 50% off tickets.
That's
faculty
great.
Can get 10% off, and that's true of all Mondavi shows.
Excellent. Good to know. And, Jade, could you give us the details again? What time does it open this
it
Friday?
It opens Friday at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Runs Saturday at 8 o'clock. Sunday at 2 o'clock with a talkback session after, and then the following weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the same.
Excellent. And I wanted to say before I let you all go that I know that you're both poets and you also both write lyrics, And I hope to get you both back either together or separately to talk about that part of your creative life as well. So I've admired the work that you've done, and I want to give others a chance to do so in Radioland.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Let's change gears and talk about Elephant's Graveyard with Garrett Schatzer and Laurie San Martin. They're here talking about the music. And Laurie, you sat down first, so I'm going to ask you to say hi to folks at home.
Hi, folks at home.
And Laurie, you're a professor of music here at UC Davis. Tell me about your involvement with Elephant's Graveyard.
So I've been talking with Jade for at least a year about this. And when she first approached me and said, would I like to write some of the incidental music, I said, great, because I've never done anything like this. And I love Jade, and I love her work. And then as the project became more developed, it was a little bit clear to me it was too much for me. So I recruited Garrett, who is a great songwriter and who has flexibility in his writing that I thought would be appropriate. So I guess I started working on the music this summer. Jade and I were sort of writing at the same time. So. Uh-huh. In fact, I finished some music about 2 hours ago.
Music that'll be heard this weekend.
Yes.
Wow. So I thought I only did things like that, in preparing for this show or for class. I don't like it to be too stale. And so I have that same approach of working right up to the last minute so that it does seem fresh. But usually I'm performing whatever it is I'm presenting. And you're depending on others. Tell me about the relationship between what you've written, who's going to perform it, and how that's going to work.
It's four students. Josef Farnsworth is playing violin. So Josef Farnsworth, Amanda Wu is playing bass. Chao Wei Lin is playing piano. She's a graduate student in music. And Al Bona is playing clarinet. And they're terrific performers. So we both picked the ensemble, I think. And we came up with this ensemble, and, usually I do get the music done about 6 weeks before the performance.
Yeah.
That's usually about as much time as the performers need. After that, they can say, no, we won't play it.
Right.
So I'm sort of taking advantage of these wonderful students. But it's a different thing with theater. It's you go in, and the music doesn't quite fit, and if I have time, I change it. So I've been changing music every day for the last few weeks.
So it's not just that, or it's not at all that you're being irresponsible, as would be the case with me, but rather that your work has to evolve with this evolving play.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it would be that way with someone else necessarily. It's my first time doing theater, and I'm willing to be this flexible as long as my performers will put up with it. It's been really fun. It's a little intense every day to write a new thing and then have
it
ready to go that night. And I'm performing, too. I've been conducting it, and Garrett's been conducting his.
Great. Wonderful. Well, and one of the pleasures of working with undergraduates is that both you and they are used to this dynamic where they do just what you ask of them in terms of assignments and so forth. So this is just a new kind of assignment.
They're really great. They're not only good at their instruments, but they're just very willing and enthusiastic.
Great. Well, let's hear from Garrett Schatzer. And Garrett, what was your part in this process?
Well, Laurie asked me to write the six songs that are included. I had a bit of an easier time because the lyrics, Jade wrote them.
Right.
And since they were part of the script, those were finalized actually over the summer. So I had the first two songs in early June, and then, I had two more sometime in, I'd say, early July, and then another two in early August. So my music's been set for a while, so it's been very easy on me because I can just concentrate on rehearsing the musicians.
So you just get to coast now as well as rehearsing.
yes. If rehearsing's coasting, I'm definitely coasting.
Okay. Well, I'm sure not everyone feels that it is. And how fun for you two to work with so many homegrown talents. Jade, especially as a playwright, who, Laurie, I know that you've known for a while. And also all these people from the community who have stepped forward to play important roles in the play. Is there something that you've learned or discovered from this process that you didn't know before about how to create art collaboratively?
Well, it's been very interesting because I usually either work with established texts, such as poems by Rainer Maria Rilke, worked with before, or text of my own.
Right.
So working with someone who's alive and well and, you know, still influencing my music, you know, just by interacting with her and, you know, I'll run ideas by her and she says, hey, that's great, you know, continue with that idea. It's been absolutely fantastic. And then the musicians, Laurie will attest, they're absolutely outstanding. So it's been an absolute pleasure to work with them as well.
Excellent. Anything to add, Laurie?
Well, you asked Jade a question earlier about did she have to, you know, calm down the rowdy undergrad.
Yeah.
And I have to say that the opening party that they had, they've been rehearsing for weeks. I mean, it's an inspiration to see what happens in theater. You know, I love what we do in music, but in theater, they rehearse every day for weeks.
Yeah.
And they start off with a party, and some way midway through they have a party, and then they'll probably have another few parties. And the little old ladies are the ones that, like, kept me at the party way past my bedtime.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, they're the ones who she probably has to say, chill out, guys.
Right. That is fun. Well, if you're just joining us, listeners to KDBS, we're talking about Elephant's Graveyard. It's a play that opens this coming Friday at the Mondavi Center, at the Larry Vanderhoof Studio Theater at the Mondavi Center. It shows Friday and Saturday night at 8 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m., and also the following weekend as well. I'm looking forward to seeing it this coming Friday. Garrett Schatzer and Laurie San Martin, thanks so much for coming on the program to tell us about your work.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Well, stick around because poet Rosie Carrick is here all the way from Brighton, England, and she'll be performing tonight at Bistro 33's Poetry Night. That's an event that I'm very much anticipating. Perhaps I will see you there tonight. That's at 9 o'clock. We're going to hear from Rosie in just a moment. You're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. This is Dr. Andy with an important message. La Trattoria Bohemia reminds all of our young people that every day, somewhere, some student with a lot of potential just gives up. Don't be a statistic. Stay in school and get your education. If you want a career instead of a job, it starts with you and the choices you make. This message is brought to you by La Trattoria Bohemia, a Czech and Italian food restaurant at 3649 J Street in Sacramento. For information, they can be reached at 916-455-7803. They're on the air because they know education is important to all of us. This is Dr. Andy, very excited to introduce you all to Rosie Carrick. Rosie Carrick is a Brighton, England-based poet who will be performing tonight at Bistro 33's Poetry Night. She is a performance poet. She has a MA in creative writing and critical theory, if I remember correctly. And I'm very pleased that on her California tour, she could not only stop by KDBS Studios to talk to you all about poetry and perform a piece or two, but also perform for all of us tonight who are interested, a live free show at 9 o'clock at Bistro 33 at the corner of 3rd and F Streets in Davis. Rosie Carrick, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you here. So tell us a little bit about you. I'm very interested in Brighton and the Brighton poetry scene that I know that you're a large part of. But how is it that your poetry, your new CD, how is it that that has brought you to California?
Well, I think that Brighton is in a smaller way than the San Francisco of England. It's like mm-hmm. a hub of creativity, and there's always loads of stuff going on in the arts and especially in poetry. And I broke up with my boyfriend, actually. Mm-hmm. and I thought, wow, I can do all these things. And San Francisco is somewhere that I'd always wanted to visit. And
right.
I thought I'd been doing a lot of gigs over the summer in the UK to promote this new CD, Volodya. And I thought, to hell with it. I'm going to go over there. It's wonderful.
Excellent. Good. Well, I'm so glad you did. Tell us about, is it pronounced Volodya?
Volodya, yeah.
Volodya. Tell us about your new CD, Volodya.
Well, I'd made recordings before and then edited the poetry and hated the sound of my own voice and all these other things. And I'm in the process of putting a book together at the minute with an artist, Jake Spicer, that I do a lot of work with, who's Brighton-based as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just wanted to create something. I made it with a community collective called Egg Chair and Cupcake in Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
And Volodya, the name, comes from the kind of affectionate version of Vladimir, which is what Lily Brick called Vladimir Mayakovsky, who is a favorite poet of mine.
Sure.
And I like the way it sounds juicy.
Absolutely. So if one were to purchase a copy of Volodya, what would be the mix of sounds that we would find in addition to your own voice?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It's all purely my voice. Is that what you mean?
Sure.
Yeah, it's I recently bought a looping station.
Yeah.
Which I'm just waiting for the inspiration to hit me, and then I'm going to make all manner of exciting vocal loops and musical backdrops. But so far, I press buttons and make funny noises, but haven't worked out how to get stuff recorded onto any kind of playable item.
Right.
So this is a purely spoken word, but I mean, the thing I guess that I want to do with poetry is to make it as performative as possible and as musical as possible. So I guess in that sense, that's why I see myself as a performance poet, not a poet doing readings.
Right. And so we've had many performance poets on this show in the past, and we've talked about this, the difference between poems for the page versus poems for the stage, that which is read sometimes haltingly and that which is sometimes presented dramatically and from memory. We just had a bunch of actors and acting teachers in here talking about some of those issues. Tell me about what a Rosie Carrick performance is like, and also remind us of the name of the reading series / open mic that you run in Brighton?
The event that I run in Brighton is Hammer and Tongue, which mm-hmm. we have guest performers and a poetry slam, which is always good fun.
Sure.
I guess they're kind of U.S. rooted, the slam.
Right. So I think Chicago is where they started.
Yeah. But my performance, I think the reason that I like to perform without papers is because my poetry, a lot of it has to do with presenting a character and speaking in the first person and kind of disrupting that notion that people have about poetry as being directly from the soul and speaking from experience. And I guess that on some level, for me anyway, it's always speaking from experience or from some kind of sentiment. But I like to trap people into this feeling that they're getting something direct and honest and then twist it around and make them concerned.
Right. Excellent.
And I think that if you use papers, that is disrupted because you're holding something which explicitly says, this is an artifice, this is something I've written, this isn't something that I'm just saying to you.
Right. So in part you mean the sense of the spontaneous, that this is something that could be spoken or yelled at you, audience member, rather than something that has been overly rehearsed and that is kind of stayed on the page.
Yeah, exactly. The immediacy, I think. I just did a talk last week called Vowels Eating Vowels, the catastrophic effects of love poetry, which has to do with that kind of what it means to have that immediacy and to talk to a you when you're in a room full of mostly strangers.
Right. And very much strangers on this trip. Did you know anyone in San Francisco when you had this dream to go off and check it out?
No, nobody. I'm traveling around on my own, picking up friends and oddballs along the way.
Excellent. And I understand that you convinced one stranger to come to you perform tonight at Bistro 33.
He's a willing victim. Not a victim at all. A willing participant, an audience member. I just met him on the train today, and he may come along tonight to hear what's happening.
Excellent. Well, we're talking about Rosie Carrick's event tonight at 9 o'clock at Bistro 33. The event will start with a brief poem by an opening poet, and then Rosie Carrick will take the stage soon after 9 o'clock. An open mic will follow at 10 o'clock. Will you have copies of your CD?
I sure will, yeah.
And so if you're interested in examining a copy of Volodya, you'll have a chance to do that tonight, and then the open mic starts at 10 o'clock. And that's at 226 F Street at 3rd and F Streets in the old City Hall building in the city of Davis. If you want to find out more, you can head over to poetryindavis.blogspot.com. So, Rosie Carrick, have you had training as an actress, and did you feel that that was at all necessary to do the sort of stage-related poetry that you perform?
Well, I think that my actor skills were finely honed in many amateur dramatic pantomime performances in my youth.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I haven't had any training as an actress. I did start a drama degree, but then got pregnant almost immediately and quit and started doing English and writing the following year and stuck to that.
Right.
So I think in a way it's a fear of acting and a fear of speaking someone else's lines that keeps me in poetry, because I can... it is acting, I think, for me, and I do feel that I'm kind of in a role or different roles, but they're mine, and if I mess up, I only have myself to fall back on, and,
right.
I think that, or I'm just a control freak.
Yeah, well, you certainly do have more control in the way that you describe it, but also, I mean, with that control comes a certain kind of creative power that you can just create something new or different for the next time that you go on stage, should you wish to do so.
Yeah, absolutely.
As the playwright of your own one-woman shows, night after night.
Yeah, excellent.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. This is Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. When we return, we will hear a poem by my guest Rosie Carrick, who will be performing tonight at Bistro 33's Poetry Night at 226 F Street at 9 o'clock. This is KDBS, 90.3 FM in Davis, and Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. I would like to remind you all that right after this show this afternoon, you can hear DJ Springy and his show Time to Get Away. He always provides a very well-researched couple hours of music that I enjoy listening to during my drive home from the studios here at 14 Lower Freeborn, where you can find KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Rosie Carrick is my guest, and she is the performance poet from Brighton, England, who will be performing tonight a free show at Bistro 33's Poetry Night at 9 o'clock. We were just talking off mic about some of her travels, and I'm very pleased that they've brought her here to the city of Davis so that I could introduce her to all of you. And Rosie, tell us about the piece that you're going to perform for us now.
I did have a poem that incorporates both technology and poetry.
Excellent.
Like I said before, I never use papers, but then when I'm in a studio, I get overwhelmed by the terror of feeling as though I'm just sitting in a room chatting to someone, which indeed I am,
right.
As opposed to having that the power of being on a stage or platform. So I'm not doing that one.
That's fine.
But I'll be doing that tonight.
Okay, great.
If you dear listeners want to come and hear this topical poem. So the one I'm doing now, I wrote when I was writing a paper on called Death, Bliss and Creativity about the idea of orgasm. Are we okay to talk about this on this show?
You can say that. Good.
and the Roland Barthes thing about disappearing, the kind of erasure of love, and I was thinking about how if that was the literal erasure of self at the point of orgasm, and how it would be kind of unnerving for the person you were with.
Right.
So this is what this is about.
Interesting. Let's hear it. Tell us the title again.
I've got on the title here, it's written down La Petite Mort, but it's actually called Disappearing Lady. I was trying for a more upbeat, classy name, so on the CD it's called La Petite Mort as well, but I recently changed it back to Disappearing Lady because it sounded contrived and a tad pretentious.
And La Petite Mort is French for a little death.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
For people who don't know. Okay.
Indeed.
Great. Let's hear it.
Okay. We start like giants. I, pushing hard to the rolling meat of her belly, she, mountain-like, tight-skinned and impatient at the specificities of my aim. Rather, as though we are brawling, she pulls hard at my shoulder and flips me to her side like a dinghy capsizing. Torsos pinched and winded, my influx of breath a reflex as her thigh leans and threatens to snap my pelvis. We disentangle and I, flung back, brace myself for support and grow terror in the face of her pink and folding form that she will split like the top of a muffin and swallow me down entirely, but she grows smaller. A trick of the shadows, surely. The darkness in here cracks caverns across her hips, though in flicking the lamp on, I both disrupt her thrusts and prove myself a fool. She is shrinking for real, and now angry, she slaps my face. She bellows my fault, and this makes her tinier still. At each forward thump of her pelvis to mine, she gets lighter, her lips a towering halo crowning the muscular trunk of her tongue. She clamps her hands around mine, my initial assumption, a gesture of romance before she jams up the V's of my thumb and forefinger divides to the nook of her larynx, my fingers like crocodile teeth behind at her sweaty nape. I squeeze until her lips are prickling purple. Until her head bows low, her arms are dangling limply to my chest. She has the face of an angel, drowning like this. And even as I watch, she grows as small as a baby. A fervent blur, she rubs herself slick, her eyes strain to a globular close. And then there is nothing of her at all. And I fall in on myself in a fit of disbelief. Fingers fumbling the empty air, white and each tip ablaze with a glorious grievance like the sight of some small tear, my visceral organs, balloons untethered, rising in the wake of her weight, an empty whisper, catching like split stitches, her soul remains. I'm here. I'm come.
That was Rosie Carrick reading from a poem that... If you won't hear that tonight, you'll hear several others like it if you come by Bistro 33 at 9 o'clock for Poetry Night. Rosie, that was amazing. I love what you do with language and with that the way that you kind of physicalize metaphor there and the idea of disappearing. Delightful poetry. I look forward to hearing your entire set tonight at Bistro 33. Where do your travels take you next?
Reno.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm doing a workshop tomorrow afternoon with some youths.
Yeah.
A workshop called Writing Selves, which has a little bit to do with what I was saying before about manipulating a sense of identity in poetry. performance poetry especially. And then I'm performing tomorrow evening somewhere in Reno as well. The information is on my website, which is rosiecarrick.co.uk.
Excellent. And do you have a publicist class or slash cruise director to set all this up for you, or is this all work that you've done in terms of organizing it?
Yeah, this time I've done it because, I mean, I really wanted to visit San Francisco as well, and, I mean, part of the reason I wanted to visit this area in general was because of the massive poetry scene here, and it's just incredible. But because I didn't have much time, and so it's quite a short, you know, I've got 6 events here, I'm here for a fortnight, and I wanted to make sure that I'd had time to just hang out and relax in San Francisco. So whereas next summer I'll be spending a month or 6 weeks in Australia touring, then I won't be doing it myself, but for this time I have been, which is kind of nicer, because like with you and other promoters, I've just been emailing back and forth and getting a better idea of people and chatting and being more sociable.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm glad this has worked out. I'm impressed with your organizational skills as well as your poetry, and I'm looking forward to that set at 9 o'clock tonight at Bistro 33 here in the city of Davis.
Thank you.
Well, Rosie Carrick, thanks so much for coming on the program. You did a great job. I'd also like to thank everyone else who came down to 14 Lower Freeborn today, including the playwright of Elephant's Graveyard, Jade Rosina McCutcheon. Her play opens this coming Friday night at the Mondavi Center, the Vanderhoof Studio Theater at the Mondavi Center, at 8 o'clock on Friday and Saturday night, also at 2 o'clock, a matinee on Sunday. And the same is true Friday, Saturday, and Sunday the following weekend as well. If you'd like to see Rosie Carrick, and after the last 20 minutes, I think that you would want to, that'll be at Bistro 33 tonight at 9 o'clock. I'd also like to thank, representing music, Garrett Schatzer, who told us about some of the songs that he's been writing, and Laurie San Martin, who's been writing some of the dances and the incidental music for Elephant's Graveyard, opening this Friday at the Mondavi Center. My name is Dr. Andy, and you've been listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. If I don't see you tonight at Bistro 33, then let it be next Wednesday for another edition of everybody's favorite poetry and technology radio program, and that would be this one. On KDVS, every Wednesday afternoon from 5 to 6, Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Bye-bye.